Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon. This is On Air Daily News for Friday, November 18th, 2022. I'm Naima Latif. And in the news today, Dr. Willie Wilson, mayoral candidate for Chicago, is proposing that there be universal voting stations available for voters in the next election so that it doesn't matter where voters live. As long as they are registered in that particular county, they can vote. And for the city election, as long as voters are registered in that city, they should be able to vote at any of the designated centers. This is the proposal Dr. Willie Wilson is making. We'll share more of his remarks, but first let's go to the White House, where President Joe Biden is speaking after his travels to Egypt and giving a report, international relations and upcoming events we can expect from the White House. And let's join him in his meeting as he talks about building an economy for working families. Major part of his address as he went abroad and made an effort to notify allies of America's support and to once again specify that America is advocating an end to the war.
Janet had to travel around the world with me, so she was good to see you.
And here he is.
All right. Slow everyone up there on the board. I want to thank you, all of you, for joining today. I just got back from an overseas trip where I spoke in Egypt at the COP27, United Nations Climate Conference, and then to the leaders of the ASEAN countries in Cambodia. We also met with the Indo-Pacific allies, including a trilateral meeting with Japan and the Republic of Korea, and with President Xi in Bali, as well as the leaders of the G20 and the countries with many of the largest economies in the world. It was clear to me, and I think to most people in those meetings, that the United States is as well or better positioned than any nation in the world to lead the world on the economy in the years ahead. And there's a strong sense from all the leaders of the world of the strength of the American economy, and we've seen the willingness to want to work together and also here at home. We had an extraordinary 2 years of progress from the American Rescue Plan, bipartisan infrastructure law, Inflation Reduction Act, and the CHIPS and Science Act. But what I'm most excited about is that people are starting to see the impact of these legislative achievements in their own lives. We're just getting started. We passed them this year, but now they're really going to kick into effect. It's going to accelerate in the months ahead. And the implementation of these legislative achievements is going to be one of the key parts of the success, I believe, for the economy. And that's one of the reasons why I wanted to bring us together today. You know, I've called together a group of labor leaders and business leaders to discuss progress in building the economy from the bottom up and the middle out. And they've been partners in creating the jobs of the future and in building a world-class workplace ready to compete to fill those jobs. And our approach, I believe, is working. The economy grew at 2.6%. While inflation started to slow and unemployment stayed low. But what do these economic statistics really mean to people? Well, here's what they mean in my view. We've added jobs every single month of my presidency, more than 10 million jobs total. 700,000 of them were manufacturing jobs. Inflation at the grocery store is coming down slightly. Prices for things like clothes and television and appliances are going down as well as we head into the holidays. This week, we saw the growth in prices and business paid for goods and services to come down as well. Gas prices are down, but it's going to take time to get inflation back to normal levels as we keep our job market strong so we could see setbacks along the way. I don't doubt that, but so far we're in good shape. But we're laser-focused on that. And in six short weeks, Americans are going to start to feel the effects of the Inflation Reduction Act. Come January 1st, seniors with diabetes on Medicare are going to pay no more than $35 a month for a prescription of insulin. Some pay as much as $400 a month now. This matters to folks like Bob, who lives in Long Island, who has had diabetes for nearly 50 years, and he's had a leg amputated and has issues with eyesight because of the complication of his diabetes. Bob came to the White House a few months ago and talked about how he has to pay $300 out of pocket every 90 days for his insulin. Now, he won't have to choose that beginning January 1st, choosing between a trip to see his grandkids or to pay for his insulin in order to survive. This matters. There are millions of folks like Bob across the country. People are going to get a little more breathing room come January 1st. And for every Bob, there's a person who won't have to pay $100 or as much as $200 for shingles vaccine anymore. Come January 1, seniors on Medicare Part D will get the recommended vaccines like shingles vaccines for free, no copay. All this matters. Right now, 4 out of 5 folks who sign up for health insurance through the Affordable Care Act can get health care coverage for $10 a month or less. These lower rates were set to expire on January 1st of this coming year, but instead we were able to extend them. You need health insurance. You can sign up for those. You can sign up for those lower rates right now. Just go to healthcare.gov. Already we've seen a nearly 40% increase in new signups over last year. We're also helping folks save money on their energy bills. Starting January 1, you can get up to $3,200 tax credit to make your home more energy efficient. You can get up to $600 tax credit for new windows, $500 for new doors, $2,000 to install a heat pump, $600 to replace electric panels. Here's what this means. If you're living in a home with a drafty windows and doors starting January 1, you'll be able to save up to $1,100 cost of replacing them. And that's just on the upgrade. You're also going to save a lot of money going forward because your utility bills will be lower. And that's good for your wallet, but it's also good for the environment because you're using less energy. And that's not all. If you want to install solar panels on the roof, you can get a tax credit for 30% of the cost. It'll bring down the cost of installation by about $7,500. And when you get to keep savings money on your electric bills for the remainder of the year, it's about $300 a year on average. Look, if you switch to electric pump to heat your home, you get a tax credit covering up to $2,000 of the cost. But that heat pump's going to save you hundreds of dollars a year on your energy bills, depending on where you live and what kind of heating system you rely on today. Look, we're talking about real money here. People, and it's just going to start kicking in now. By taking action, we're making real progress in strengthening and stabilizing our economy, giving Americans across the country some breathing room. Building this progress is not just acting, but it's listening. That's why I'm here today to open the good ideas to continue bringing inflation down and continue creating an economy that works for everyone with these business and labor leaders who are in front of me here. Folks in this room, American labor unions, American companies, are key to building an economy from the bottom up and the middle out, as I said. I look forward to continuing to partner with them and hearing their thoughts about things I should do and should not do, ways we can continue to strengthen the American economy, and about how we can work together going forward. And now I'm going to turn it over to Brian Deese, Director of National Economic Council, and he's going to continue this meeting, and I'll intervene in a long way. But again, thank you all for being here. I really appreciate your help and advice. Brian, it's all yours.
Thank you, Mr. President. I think we're going to just pause a moment while they we have the press depart and we turn to the rest of the meeting here. But as they do, I'll just add my thanks to all of you for convening here together, particularly as the President and Secretary Ellen are just back from a long overseas trip here. So looking forward to the conversation.
And that was President Joe Biden delivering remarks after his overseas journey. And as he stated, world leaders are looking to the United States to show leadership in revitalizing the economy. It's perceived that the American economy is strong enough to make a difference. And now we will go to Dr. Willie Wilson's press conference. A number of ethnic communities in Chicago have endorsed Dr. Willie Wilson. And in today's press conference, Dr. Wilson is advocating that voting be made easier for the average citizen and analyzing the recent election. The low voter turnout was an issue that Dr. Wilson addressed earlier, prior to the election, and stating that the closing of many longtime polling places could have hampered voters who did not have transportation to new places, or the new places may not have been as accessible as those they were accustomed to going to vote, especially if they were wheelchair bound or had other physical impairments. And Dr. Wilson is advocating that voters be allowed to vote in areas that are closer to where they live, regardless of precinct. And he is also advocating that the mayor of the city of Chicago be more responsive to the citizens.
Wilson has done amongst the ethnic community, whether it's the Slavic-speaking community, Polish, Russian, Ukrainian, Czech, the Latino community, the Asian community. One of my jobs, responsibility is to be in conversation with them, especially when it comes to the topic of the election and voting. And honestly, they're concerned. These ethnic groups are concerned about lacking polling places and the problems that have arisen because of the fact that people were not familiar where to go since things have changed. And so I really do believe that we need to continue, and we will do that. We will continue to talk with the ethnic community and just to follow them as they are concerned about having the access to the voting places, you know, especially within the Latino community. We talked to many from South America, Central America, and their concern coming from countries where there have been struggles, challenges with rights to be a part of the election in their country of origin. We want them to really participate here in this country, in this state, in this county, in this city. So we are so grateful to be able, on behalf of Dr. William Wilson, to represent the many people, ethnic communities that are concerned about having access to our country.
Thank you very much, Dr. Valdez. I want to just point out before I bring up Dr. William Wilson that the tribe actually went out in Utah, where they actually interviewed an election judge. And the title of it is Black Voters in North Wanted Scaled Mountains of Inconvenience and Confusion to Vote. And she actually talks about one North Wanted resident who actually for 14 years was voting at the same church in the basement. She had to walk to that place. But now, as a result of the closing of polling stations, she has to take a bus to get to that polling station. And the article, I encourage everyone to read it, talked about all of the challenges that they had in North Wanda with voting. This is a serious matter. we have to do everything we can to make sure that people have access to the ballot and that they can vote. With that being said, I want to bring up a man who really needs no introduction, one who's been leading the charge for making sure that people have access to polling stations and making sure that people with disabilities have access as well. And that is none other than Dr. Willie Wilson.
As it relates to black-brown community, I mean, I'm not saying that we have minimum significance
it's a vote. You get into office. People like myself, fine, you're okay. We can make it, we can fine. But if we're not okay, if the rest is not okay, another generation is not okay to follow that. Just don't have it now. Don't vote, just stay open to make sure we should, if we're on the red side, let's vote for more votes. Now that we have done this year, why don't we take it now that anybody can walk in and vote away and just cast a vote? Whether they live in that area or not, they should go in there and cast their vote. So I go to a drive like place out at my other home, I'm in Haydersburg. Just home here, I can go to the drive like place and get my license. I can go in the place and pay my water bill. It should be the same thing. We should not deprive. We should always try to help keep it well. And you deal with the flip side of that going, oh, what is that? You got other people like in the Polish community and other communities who have language differences, who need to have people to translate to them, provide them to vote. You got other people in the Latino community, language barriers, need to have people to help them to be able to cast votes and things. Those are a lot of different elements that we have to take a look at, So let's hope that they can get that together. We did file a lawsuit, but going back, it worked out like we were hoping, but it worked out to be what we did all we needed to do. And so now it's going to fade, so we're going to move on from that. But we must talk about this today, trying to get it right to today, and then we go forward. I was disappointed in terms of a lot of the other organizations within the different communities did not jump on board with us yet. We have our civil rights organization. We have our other leagues and lawyer leagues, things of that nature, didn't jump on board with this yet. My folks, like we were the long range in this one. But we must keep it going because a lot of people die, but people like me and others should have a right to vote. In China, they can't vote at all. Yes, in China, they can't vote at all. Three or 4 billion people cannot vote in China. So you got a select group, that's it. And they didn't have no right. So meanwhile, that's hope that the news media, the thing they shine light on this one very often is personal. And I hope that the news media, you guys, can really press the people. The importance of it is being to all of us folks. So anyway, nevertheless, I'll take any question that you might like to ask. Any comments?
Yes,
so,
and then they hear a rule that allows people to vote at vote centers.
Would you like to see that stated? Is that something that you might be state level and you want to bring to the next section? Well, everything in Chicago is going to be about politics here, but, COVID-19 affects a lot of people. That's why I'm saying that it should be to go anywhere you want to, need to. The senior citizens, we all want to provide the senior citizens home. That they can walk in and vote there as well. They need to have people that can get in their car and they go to Walmart. You can vote there. They need to have things they can at least go on a computer, a service station, things that they need to do that. I think if we came to the COVID era, we're still there now. We did a lot for that era. But we're not taking this here like in terms of COVID. We're putting this on the back front. We should take this very seriously. People follow picking voting, put people to represent us within our community. And if people can't represent us in our community, how you gonna know what's going on in that community? You know, the politician has missed it. A lot of things in their big eye, which they call career politicians. They don't do things they vote for the party versus the people. You know, because they vote for their pocketbook. You know, things of that nature. That needs to be changed. People need to take a different look at that situation. Because now it's got to a point where it's hard to make a living. I think that's what we need to find and stuff like that. But the biggest problem, I think, is right now in terms of this voter situation with the politicians, is that the politicians' problem is they have self-interest versus the team interest. Because that is that.
So Dr. Wilson is planning to send a letter to the governor and to the legislative leaders in Springfield to actually ask for them to pass legislation that will allow universal voting centers in Chicago, much like Dade County has, because it's still in the election code, city council can't do it. You got to get action from Springfield. So there'll be some amount.
In time for this election.
Yeah. I mean, look, where there's a will, there's a way. Look, the election's February 28th. They can pass it. They can fast track it and get it done. There's no reason why we can't have a situation, as Dr. Lewis in particular, where people can walk and vote wherever there's a precinct. So if you live in the 25th ward, you don't necessarily have to vote in the 25th ward. You can vote in the 10th ward. Vote in the first ward. You can vote anywhere. Just like early voting in Superstate would make that for like someday for early voting. Universal vote centers.
Mm-hmm. And I think the answer to that too is that while we put up this week we put up this thing, the pop up plan is like COVID-19. You know, they pop up overnight. Yeah. It's COVID-19 plans that pop up like that. It reminds me of a situation when I went home somewhere and somewhere I cooked grits. I put grits in hot water and stopped
by. So, Dr. Wilson,
I argue that the election day, it was not, I think it's early vote and the mail-in vote, it's long term. So, therefore, is it really all about election day? So many of
majority decided to vote for election day. See, I believe this here is that if one person missed from voting because of a particular situation, it is wrong. Yeah. When the COVID-19 hit, people couldn't come out of their room because they didn't have faith. So that person who is receiving physical on the way or disabled, how are they going to estimate to be? So a lot of times it used to be in those particular homes. You know, people do what they want to do when they want to do it, if they want to do it.
And that was Dr. Willie Wilson advocating for universal voting centers. Time for the next election, the mayoral election of 2023. And he will need to petition Springfield, as Attorney Richard Boykin clarified, in order to have this in effect in time for the next election. He is saying that this will make a difference in voter turnout. And it may make a difference as to who is able to get to the polls on election day. That's all for now. I'm Naima Latif. You've been listening to On Air Daily News. Join us again on Monday, 2 p.m. Central, 2 p.m. Eastern. Until that time, enjoy the rest of your day.